are closing out our series this month. We were talking about spirit and caring for spirit. And Pastor Kate has spent the last couple Sundays talking about how we should be looking at our spirit and the health of it and how to gauge it and what pressures we should be putting on it or less pressures that we should be putting on it and who it is that is in charge of our spirit. And so now, many weeks in, I will ask you, how is your soul? Is it refreshed this morning after a week of American news television? Are you refreshed? Are you feeling light as an angel this morning? How is your soul? Oh, thank you. People after my heart. And so even as Kim was talking and as Sade was talking, I know that God is in control because he has weaved each and every one of these things together. And I want you to just take a moment to think about your soul in this moment. I'm going to tell you two stories today, two stories before we read the scripture. And then we'll read it. I'll talk to you a little bit about what God has revealed to me, and I promise to let you go. As I meditated on this word this week, two things came to mind. The first thing was of one of my favorite actresses ever. Her name is Della Reese. She is no longer on this side. She has transitioned. And Della Reese was a beautiful woman. One of the things that I found very interesting about her was that she was actually allowed to fill in for Johnny Carson when he was away from his television program many, 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 many years ago. And that was a big deal because she was a woman. And I won't tell you any more than that. She was a woman. That's enough. And so Della Reese, later in her life, she was an actress, and she played on this program called Touched by an Angel. You can find it probably on Hallmark early in the morning. And it was a religious program that was on mainstream TV, as crazy as that was. But that's not why I'm telling you about her. There was a story back on the Lifetime Network, before Lifetime used to play the movies that they play now, they had a program called Lifetime Intimate Portrait. And on the Intimate Portrait program, they would highlight the lives of celebrities. And so they would tell you things. And so it was a different kind of scenario as opposed to now where, you know, cameramen jump in front of celebrities as they're doing things with their family. This was actually a scheduled interview where she had time to prep and prepare and get her thoughts together. And while she was being interviewed for this program, she told the interviewer about an encounter that she had with God. And she talked about how she was raising her children, and there were times when, you know, she didn't have money and things weren't great and the checks weren't coming in. And she would say, "Father, you know I got to feed these kids. And Father, we only have meat, but we don't have any bread. And so, God, I'm just going to trust you to take care of my children." And she said, and as luck would have it, she would go on about her day. And then as the day would go on, maybe a neighbor would knock on the door and say, "Hey, you know what? I got this bread. It's going to go bad. I know you have children. Here's this bread for you." And I remember watching in awe going, I want to have a relationship with God like that, where I feel like I can speak to God and I can say whatever my concern is and whatever my desire is, and that God himself would care enough about me that he would move. And so what I want you to get out of this story is not only her relationship and her ability to talk to God, but I also want you to see her neighbor. Her neighbor who may or may not have known God. Her neighbor who had the ability to have extra. And not only did they have extra, but they had extra that they did not want to waste. And so I want you to examine that. I want you to think about that, about opportunities in your life where you may have extra. And your extra may be being wasted. I want you to think about a moment, a place in your life where you may have extra, and realize that God may be giving you the extra so that you could be a blessing to someone else. The second story that I want to tell you this morning isn't as happy and light and, you know, protos filling as that one was. This is a story from 1996. In Queens, New York, where I live, where I'm from, there were families that were getting their children ready for school, like a normal school day. And they were preparing their children, they were sending them off, and these particular children went to private school, and they had private transportation that took them to private school, and I'm sure their parents thought they were doing the very best that they could for their children. And what could only be described as an act of God, the worst possible, unimaginable thing happened. As they were on their way to school, the wind blew. And the wind blew so hard that it pushed a tree up out of the ground. And the tree landed on the van. And four children died in the van on their way to Christian school that morning. Two of the children were sisters. It was horrible. It was horrific. And it's one of those situations where you want to say, well, where was God in this scenario? And what I'll tell you is I went to the funeral of one of the girls who died. And this child was an only child. And this mother had lost her husband earlier in her marriage. And so it was just her and her daughter. And now her daughter is gone. And I watched that woman get up and stand in a sanctuary similar to this one and stand in a place similar to where I am with her 10-year-old daughter's body laid in a casket. And she sang, "It is well with my soul." And I remember in that moment saying, God, I want to have a relationship with you like that. Because I can't imagine standing over the body of my one and only child and gathering up the strength to sing, "It is well." And so I ask that you just keep those stories in your heart as we go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and we read those verses. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, And all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The thing I love about this scripture, the thing I love about even the book of Matthew, I know that technology is great and we're so thankful to have it, but every once in a while, I think you should get out one of these old dusty books. They're called Bibles and they have pages in them. And they're great, you know, they're great. And the words of Jesus are actually in red in these books. And I know for some people, maybe you're new to religion or new to Christianity or new to relationship with God, and this book can seem so overwhelming and it can seem so big, and there are lots of this and though and thou, and it depends on whatever interpretation you read. But what I heard a preacher say one time was, if you only read the red, you're gonna be all right. So don't be overwhelmed. If you only read what's in red, you'll be all right. And so the red is, again, these words of Jesus. And Jesus is teaching and he's talking. And this piece of scripture is really, really known for that anxious piece. And I'm sure you've seen T-shirts and Bibles and mugs where it says, be anxious for nothing. And we walk around and we put that on our chest and we go on about our day and we worry anyway. That's the human way. And we drink from the mug at the job that we hate, and it says, be anxious for nothing and worry about nothing. And we worry about if we're still going to have the job as we drink from the mug with the scripture from our God written on it. That's the human way. And so what I believe God has charged us here, charged me here today to talk to you, is about worrying. Because as Sade already told us, things are going to happen. We live in a tumultuous world. And if you have experienced anything in this past year, you know somebody who knows somebody who had to say goodbye to a loved one this year. Things are going to happen. And yet our God is very specific about what we're supposed to focus on. Another thing I want to talk to you today about is just anxiety. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. And now everyone knows anxious anxiety. That's like a trigger word. A lot of people say it. Some people are on medication for it. I'm not here to pick high or low or to state what's real and what's not. But what I will tell you is that anxiety, just by definition, is care that distracts us. And I think that if we focus on that and if we take it apart a little bit, it's something that you care about so much that is distracting you from the path that God has you on. And in the scripture, Jesus specifically says, people are concerned about what are they going to eat? People are concerned, what am I going to wear? And I don't know about you, maybe you're in a place in your life where you look at a closet and you sit with your hand in your head and you worry, what should I put on today? And on the other hand of that, maybe there's someone who only has one shirt and one bottom and you're concerned because this is all you have to wear today. And what I say to you is that Jesus speaks to both of us, both people in both of those scenarios. And Jesus says, do not worry about those things. He reminds us about nature, and I'm a really big advocate about seeing what God is doing that appears to be untouched by man, and that's nature. Jesus says, look at the wildflowers in some interpretations. It says, look at the wildflowers. Wildflowers meaning that they are not planted. They just kind of got thrown there. They just kind of were spewed in a different direction. And look at how they grow. Not only how they grow, but look at how beautiful they are. How much more does God care for you than these wildflowers that are out on the sides of the highways when we take these long road trips and you go into certain areas and you just see all orange or all shades of purple or different kinds of pink. Those are the moments when I'm reminded of the God that I serve and how much he cares about me. And so I'm telling you all this, and you're looking at me and you're saying, okay, right, we're not supposed to worry. We worry anyway. I know, right. I get it. And so I went to God and I prayed and I said, God, there's so much going on. There's so much even going on that we don't even understand. Those of us that feel called to pray will pray about things, and God, all we can do is say, God, fix it. God, your will. God, your way be done, because we can't figure it out. We don't have the answers. And the word that God gave to me was surrender. And I questioned really whether it was God, and then we sang the song, and then Sade talked about it, and then Josiah read us a book about it. And so I know that it was God. And so this morning, I don't want to ask what you're worried about. I don't want to ask what's burdening your soul. I don't want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them your innermost secrets through the mask. I'm not even going to ask you to write it down on a piece of paper, because the reality is the thing that you are worried about, the thing that you are anxious about, the thing that brings you anxiety, the thing that distracts you from what God would have you to be doing on a daily basis, you already know it. It is in the front of your mind. What I'm going to ask you to do today is to ask yourself, what do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe that God sits high and sees you? Do you believe that God cares about whether or not you and your family eat? Do you believe that God cares that your needs are met? What do you believe about God? What prompted you to get dressed and come here and channel this morning? What prompted you to log on and say, I want to hear a word this morning? What do you believe? Because this whole entire thing is about relationship. The health of your soul is about your relationship with God. And you can only have a relationship with God based on your belief that God exists, based on your belief that he had a son, that he sent his son to die, that his son was without sin, and that his blood was shed for you. But only if you believe it. And I will admit, I am human too. Human and a believer, and at times filled with doubt and anxiety, and I have to remind myself, what is it that I believe? I have to remind myself that God cares about me. I have to remind myself that everything that I do, he is with me. And so to feel that is not to be an outsider. To feel that is to not be an unbeliever. This is a walk that we are on. We, as your brothers and sisters, are in community with you to walk it together. And so as you think to yourself, what is it that I really believe about God? Do I really believe what Jesus says? Do I really believe that he cares about the birds and he cares about the wildflowers? And if he cares about them, then how much more will he care about me? The words are in red. He said it. It's real. But do I believe it? That's the charge. This whole thing is about faith. This whole thing is about belief. Our whole experience here is about our individual relationships with the God who woke us up this morning. And so I can tell you, be anxious for nothing. And I can tell you that, oh, just pray. And I can just tell you, just read the scripture. But the reality is, you got to believe it. You got to believe it. I'm not going to keep you, because I believe that people deserve to go home early, especially when the pastor's not there. But I will say that I'm always reminded that we are God's children. And that really comes clear to me when I am around other children. Because once you reach adult status, you don't think that you are a child anymore. But if you spend some time around little children, that helps me. That changes the lens for me when I think about my relationship with God. And so when you imagine a toddler, imagine a little child, and the little child is trying to put a ball in a hoop. And they grab it and they take the ball and they try to put it in the hoop and it won't go. And they pick it back up from the floor and they take it to the hoop and they're on their tippy toes and they're trying to get it in and it won't go. And so now, after 3 and 4 and 5 and 10 tries, now they're a little agitated. Just a little agitated. And they're saying, like, it seems like everyone else is doing it. I'm looking at other kids and they're able to do it with no problem, but why is it me? And so they're getting a little frustrated. They might stomp their feet a little bit. They might begin to yell. Other children would just cry. Children are different. But eventually, they'll get that ball and they'll walk over to the person that they trust, the person that they know is going to help them, the person that they know will fix their situation, whether that's mommy or daddy or auntie or godmom or teacher, whoever it is, that's who they go to. And just like always, faithful like a clock, that person will get there, pick that child up, take them over to the hoop, let them hang over it to put the ball inside, and then we all celebrate together, knowing that they really didn't do it, but it got done. And that reminds me of God. Because the question is, when you have your situation, when you have your burden, whether the problem is your finances, whether the problem is your marriage, whether the problem is your children, whether the problem is your car, whether the problem is your job, whether the problem is your self-esteem, whether the problem is your addiction, who is your trusted person? Who is it that you're taking your problem to, believing that they have the power to fix it? I'm not talking about when you call your girlfriend to vent about your man, or you call your cousins to talk about your children. I'm talking about, who is it that you know has the power to change your situation? And so this week, while you think about, what is it that I really believe? God, I'm saying I believe in you, but do I really believe? God, when I have problems and I take them to this person and that person and this person, and I know that they do not have the capability to fix anything, am I really bringing my problems to the person who can actually make a change? Does that even cross my radar to bring it to you, God? What is it that we really believe? Who is it that we're really running to with our issues? And so as we talk and we wrap up this series on caring for your soul, I want everybody to take a moment to close your eyes close your eyes where you are and ask God to bring to the front the things that are weighing your soul down. The things that are keeping you from walking and experiencing the joy of God. Bring to the front of your mind the things that are like anchors that are dragging you. The things that you believe people can't see, and yet when they look in your eyes, they say, "Are you okay?" Because they know that there are things bubbling below the surface. And as you have those things in your mind, what God wants you to do with them today is leave them here. What God wants you to do with them today is surrender. And so what you have to do is let it go. Take the firm grip that you have on it and release it. All the scenarios that you've created in your mind, all of the what ifs, like the monster in the story, all of the negatives of how it could turn out, leave it here. Give it to the one who has the power to change it for you.